In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, one God. Amen. It is good to gather with you again, and I'm especially grateful to Pastor Kristen for the invitation to share in your worship on this Pride Sunday. It is a day when we not only worship our living God, but we also celebrate the vibrant, beautiful, and diverse tapestry of God's creation. And today in particular, we are reminded of that diversity as it is reflected in our LGBTQ+ siblings. Our gospel reading from Luke is one of those wonderfully honest moments in the life of Jesus and of his disciples. It's a snapshot of Jesus setting his face, quite literally, toward Jerusalem. This is a pivotal, even dark change in Jesus' life. Jesus could see the signs. If he kept saying the things he was saying and doing the things he was doing, he was going to get into trouble. Jesus could have chosen to stay in Galilee to continue healing, casting out demons, and feeding the hungry. And yet Jesus felt called to go to Jerusalem, the very seat of religious and secular power. Jesus knew the truth he had been speaking in the hillsides of Galilee. Jesus also knew he had to speak truth to power, to fulfill his calling to bring about the kingdom of God, where fullness of life abounds and where evil, injustice, and violence are no more. Jesus would have to go into the heart of oppression. He would see that doing that very thing would come at a terrible price. So as he journeys along, he and his disciples pass through Samaria, and they don't get a warm welcome at all. And we know that there's history in that, isn't there? Judeans were very discriminatory toward their Samaritan siblings. So when Jesus and his disciples were not well received, James and John asked Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Many of us, when faced with or when we witness injustice or rejection, we might feel exactly like James and John. Let's just call down fire upon them. And this reaction can be especially true when the rights of our LGBTQ+ siblings are threatened, when medical decisions are removed from families, or when medical care is inaccessible, and discrimination is tolerated or even supported, using religion as justification for cruelty. You see, the other side doesn't care. Maybe they just don't understand. We assume that they're coming from places of hatred and division. Maybe punishment is the easiest thing for us to ask to fall upon them. And yet, I am still compelled to hear Jesus rebuke James and John, and then his rebuke of us when we tend to react using punishment. Jesus is not about destruction, but about salvation, about building up and about reconciliation. It seems then, if I were to consider all of this, if we are truly to be followers of Jesus, that we too must then go to some sort of Jerusalem, finding the reign of God, finding the fullness of life. That only comes when we turn ourselves to the darkness of the world, seeing the painful parts of life and setting our face toward it. The problem is we are so good at avoiding the darkness. And who can blame us? Life just doesn't seem to deliver us what we expect, does it? We face personal Jerusalems, loss and grief, loneliness, our changing health as we age, broken relationships, but we also face communal Jerusalems, systemic racism, economic disparity, and today, this ongoing struggle for our LGBTQ plus siblings in their liberation and affirmation. But the thing is, if we turn our back on it, if we turn our back on the darkness, if we avoid the darkness as if it isn't there, it will consume us. And when we think about it that way, it sounds like then we are imprisoned by fear. And today, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, reminds us that we are called to freedom. Paul says, "For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, sometimes the verses in this letter, especially those listing the works of the flesh, have been painfully twisted and used to condemn and exclude people of God's love, especially those in the LGBTQ plus community. But this is a profound misreading of Paul's intent and the very nature of Christian freedom. You see, Paul is not creating a new list of legalistic rules. Rather, he is contrasting a life lived in self-centeredness and societal brokenness with a life guided by God's Spirit, which always produces love, joy, peace, and patience. This freedom isn't a license for self-indulgence. It's a freedom for love. Through love, Paul writes, become slaves to one another. This freedom is summed up in that single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This means then that we must engage in relationship with the other, the very other we wish to call down fire from heaven. Freedom isn't about separation. It's a feature of relationships made possible through Christ. Loving your neighbor isn't about self-sacrifice. It's an emphasis on equality and mutuality. As I understand this, it's profoundly challenging when there may not be equal or mutuality extended to others or ourselves. It's incredibly difficult to then extend unconditional love to those who seem to determined to deny it to others, especially to our LGBTQ plus siblings. It is much easier to call down fire, to alienate, to respond to anger that leads to revenge. But that is not of the Spirit. It will merely consume us and lead us to more violence. Yet if we truly want to be followers of Jesus, we too have to face systems of injustice. We must advocate for the marginalized, lift up the disenfranchised, give voice to those whose power has been limited. This is the costly, transformative work of faith. Jesus, on his journey, shows us the way. Jesus doesn't condemn the Samaritans. He continued on his path of love. He engaged with those who wished to follow him, not by rejecting them, but by clarifying the radical, vulnerable nature of discipleship. Jesus didn't make their decisions easy, because following him isn't meant to be comfortable. It demands everything. His path was about embodying a love so radical that it could encompass even those who rejected him. Our call, then, is to hold fast to the truth of God's inclusive love, to advocate for justice, to create spaces of welcome and affirmation, even as we pray for the transformation of hearts hardened by fear or prejudice. It means loving the person even when we must unequivocally reject their hurtful words or actions. It is a nuanced and often painful walk, but it is the walk of Christ. So today, and maybe in particular on this Pride Sunday, let us remember that God's love is boundless, expansive, and radically inclusive. It embraces every person in their fullness with all their gifts, their identities, their unique expressions of God's image. And if we think just a few weeks ago to Trinity Sunday, as we think of that Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, yet one God, existing in perfect communion, a dynamic dance of distinctness and oneness. If God's very being is diverse unity, how can we, who are made in God's image, be anything but diverse? How can we not celebrate that diversity in every person, including gender and sexuality? Jesus, in his earthly ministry, constantly crossed boundaries, embraced the marginalized, and saw the divine spark in everyone. And for us to do that work, we might begin with hearing the stories that we carry, the fears that we have, the concerns that have been raised, to give voice to our frustrations, to hear and to care for one another. Then when we hear our call to bring about the kingdom of God, where fullness of life abounds, where evil and injustice and violence are no more, we must always be ready to step into those places of despair, those places of joy, places of need, of sharing, places of death with people. And through our compassion and bravery, life and hope and love will grow. Lives and systems will then change. I know that this is difficult work, but it is not work we do alone. We may wish it not to be ours to do, and yet we must remember we practice a faith that is costly rather than comfortable, and that our faith is meant to be transformative and not stable. May it always be so. Amen.